Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Welcome to Unhappy Hour, the show where we bitch about all the things we love to hate every single week. I'm your host, Matt Bellassai. Here in the studio, as always, with my producer, Barry Finkel. Hi, Barry.
Hey, Matt, guess what?
What?
There's a rat living in my car engine, and it's eating fries.
I don't even know where to start with that.
Yep.
What?
Apparently, rats like to live in car engines, and one has brought chicken bones and french fries into ours, so it's just having a little party.
Something is wrong with you. Personally, if you had both a baby rat crawl out of your sink and now a different rat.
Or the same, who's to know?
Maybe he's all grown up, and you provided such a hospitable home for him that he decided he wants to follow you around wherever you go.
I don't know. I think that this is my chance to become, like, the rat queen. Which really could be an extremely powerful position in New York.
I guess in the sense that, like, yeah, the king of the mole people is probably pretty important, but we'll never know who he is.
Yeah. Well, guess what, bitch? She's me.
All right. Well, Barry's already started us off with Worst Things First, but we'll get into the actual segment Worst Things First right after this. Then we're going to dive deep into texting etiquette. I don't care if you put your elbows on the table or what kind of fork you shovel your shit into your mouth with, but I do care if you're sending just K instead of a whole word. You do that.
I know I do.
And finally, we've got Dylan Marin as our guest complainer. Dylan is a writer, performer, video maker. He hosts the popular podcast Conversations with People Who Hate Me, and he's writing a freaking book. So let's get into it. Let's do it. Let's start the show. All right, worst things first, the worst news of the week. First, police in Chicago shut down a busy downtown street last week after a suspicious object was spotted, only to discover that the culprit was a can of Chef Boyardee raviolis with two sets of wheels attached to it. Why not? I just have so many questions. The can on wheels was later confirmed to be a DePaul student's design project.
And that kid should not be in college.
To the area for
That is a fourth grade design challenge.
Yeah. Also, what the fuck? I had to make like a mousetrap contraption that somehow turned that fucking thing that could have very well cut my fingers off into a car.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We had to make mousetrap cars.
Why?
It was like a physics class project where you turn the momentum of the mousetrap would like unspool a yarn that would turn the wheels.
Wow.
And this person just slapped some wheels on a ravioli and they're in college. What the fuck? Also, why did they just leave it unattended?
I don't understand.
That's a perfectly good can of ravioli that you just left.
Maybe he was trying to deliver it to his friend. He found out his friend was hungry.
Maybe it was a
Uber
remote
Eats
control situation. Next! A Tennessee movie theater that is located across from a church and next to an elementary school, right?
So got all their things right there.
Has decided not to name the new Hellboy movie on its signs because it may be seen as profanity. Instead, they're advertising the movie as Heckboy.
Oh, Heckboy.
This is not necessary, okay? I swear, I say fuck in front of, like, preschoolers every day.
What?
I walk into a preschool classroom and I yell, fuck you all. I swear, though, there are so many times in New York where I am like, I don't even realize that I'm standing next to a bunch of children. And
I mean, what are you going to look down?
Right. And then I'll apologize. And they're like, we've heard everything you said before.
I mean, an actual child came up to me this week. And at first I thought he was asking for money. And then he changed his tactic and just went, well, actually, can I have your number? And I was like, what? And he was like, you have a nice body. And I was like, you're a child. He said, no, I'm 15. I'm a teenager. And I was like, you're a child. But thank you so much. So I think the kids know what's happening.
So when you woke up in his bed the next morning, did he make you breakfast?
Wow. Yeah, he pulled out a can of ravioli, threw nice. Some wheels on it, and just drove it right up to my bed.
Yeah. I mean, he has more game than I ever had.
Same.
At 15.
Seriously.
At 15, I was making mousetrap cars. Anyway, the manager of this Tennessee movie theater said that they want to avoid putting up words on their sign that may be seen as profanity, to be respectful to everyone, including the hundreds of children who pass by every day. Yeah. Meanwhile, children in New York take the subway alone while fucking a homeless man defecates into a toilet he fashioned out of a Trader Joe's bag. So, next! A man in Alaska, only in Alaska. This truly is an only in Alaska story because he was stopped by the TSA after inspectors found moose nuggets in his carry-on bag. And before you ask, is that just a chicken nugget made of moose? No, it's moose shit. He had bags of moose shit in his carry-on bag. Moose shit.
Why?
And when they asked him what it was for, he said he likes to collect the moose shit and present it to politicians for their, quote, bleep policies. That was the quote. I think he actually said bleep. But a TSA spokeswoman said that the discovery didn't warrant writing a report, so the man was sent on his way with the poop. I don't... What?
I mean, I guess we're all bags of shit anyway going through security. So.
I have so many. Where does he have his own moose?
Well, I don't know. Is it like easy, like squirrel poop? I say that and then I realize I've never seen squirrel poop. I have no idea what that looks like. So never mind.
Yeah. Like, does he have his own moose? How prevalent are moose?
I mean, they're around.
In Alaska.
It's like deer.
Also, they're huge.
Yeah, they're huge. My mentor in college, she started her career in Alaska.
Sure. Yeah. I had a mentor too.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And she told us how like there was a moose stuck on her driveway. And so she just like couldn't leave the house.
Like, however big...
And it's a real, like, she was able to use that as an excuse. And they were like, yeah, you mean you can't come in.
Yeah. Like, however big you think a moose is, it's three times as big as that.
Mm-hmm. Which means its shits must be just massive.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's nuggets.
It's not known if it was the same person, but a man was seen passing out bags of moose shit at the Capitol on the same day as a protest against the governor of Alaska's proposed budget.
If that's another person, these two need to become friends.
How
maybe
prevalent
start dating.
Is moose shit passing out in Alaska? This happens so much that they can't confirm whether it's the same man. Anyway. And finally, a Colorado man was arrested on suspicion of robbing the same Dairy Queen twice in one day. You get the craving. You get the craving for those delicious blizzards.
You gotta have a blizzard.
He's also suspected of trying and failing to carjack two people during those robberies. Police say he stole the cash register and then turned it upside down to demonstrate that none of the money would fall out.
Did you write that or was that in the...
Yeah, I did.
I love it.
Yeah, that did not happen. But I like to imagine that he was like... Every time they do it, I'm like, you're going to rue the day.
I have never had an employee do that for me.
So, yeah, the police said that he first robbed the shop around 9 p.m. on a Monday, and the police responded, and he had left with an undetermined amount of cash, probably not that much, because it's a fucking Dairy Queen, and everything costs like $3. Responding officers couldn't find him. Then less than 2 hours later, around 10:40 p.m., he tried to rob it again. Then they broke out the night vision equipment and went on the lookout for him, and he was reportedly found hiding in a prairie.
Prairies are flat.
Yeah,
why would you hide there?
Hide in a prairie with a cash register.
Tall grass.
He was charged with robbery, attempted robbery, and felony menacing. I love a good felony menacing.
Sounds like he really screamed for ice cream. I don't know if he screamed when he was arrested.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like a couple takeaways. If you're going to rob a store, try to switch it up a little bit. Lightning can't strike the same place twice, can it? I don't know.
I don't know.
But I've heard that said before. Yeah, also don't pick a Dairy Queen. I feel like you're not going to get that much money.
Go to a Ben and Jerry's. Rob a Ben and Jerry's. Don't actually. We love them. We meaning me.
I, first of all, fuck Dairy Queen because Whoa. I feel like they should have sponsored me a long time ago and they haven't. Also, one time I ordered a cake from them when Harry Styles followed me on Twitter. I went to Dairy Queen and I said, can you write Harry Styles followed Matt? And the guy basically... It looked like he had written it with urine in snow. Like, that was the same. And I bitched about it on Twitter, and they sent me $50 in gift cards. But it was, like, 10 different $5 gift cards, so I never used them. Also, the window for them to sponsor me is closing, because we're reaching a point where if I even am around dairy, my butthole leaks. And that's it for this week's Worst Things First. Next, we are correcting all your texting wrongs. Auto-correcting. Mom, this one's for you, bitch. Deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive, deep dive. Deep dive.
Deep dive.
Deep dive. Deep dive. Deep
dive. All right. Well, let's talk about texting faux pauses. As I was researching this deep dive, I Googled texting faux pas, and this 2011 CNN business article came
up. Very topical, very hot.
Called 10 Cell Phone Faux Pas
Ooh.
You Really Shouldn't Make. 2011 shouldn't feel that long ago, but all of these things are now just like... accepted. Walking while texting. Okay.
How else are you supposed to walk?
Right. I'm going to look where I'm going? I don't think so. No. What if... I want to see the car that hits me. Pulling out the phone at the dinner table. We're just going to talk? Their like go-to thing is talking about playing words with friends at the dinner table. Returning a call with a text. Not the other way around. Returning a phone call with a text. Yeah, if you fucking call me, I'm going to wait until you hang up and then I'll text you and say, sorry, I missed your call. What do you want? Crop dusting.
What?
Which is a phrase I didn't entirely understand. It's where you text everybody in your phone on like a Friday night and say, what are you up to? And then the first person who responds, you hang out with. And then do you ignore everybody else? I don't really know. I feel like that's specific to the person who wrote this article. Messenger pigeoning. It's waiting a long time to respond.
Oh.
As if you were sending a messenger pigeon. So if someone asks you, what time are we going to meet? And then you wait hours to respond. Drunk dialing or texting. That's all of my texting.
Yeah.
Life casting. So like, oh, you see a sunset and you take a picture of it. Also, what I do, conversations in public and talking on your phone in the bathroom. I do every single one of these things. But you know what? You shouldn't do all of the following things. And if you do, I reserve the right to go into your phone physically.
Yeah.
Be transported smart house style. Get into your phone and then jizz all over all of your stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or just destroy everything in your phone. All of your personal information. Mm-hmm. Okay. First! I mean, this is just a personal pet peeve, but when someone doesn't reply to your text and then they are active on Instagram or Twitter, like, at least have the decency to use your burner account. Like, if I haven't responded to someone, I know that I cannot like anything on Instagram or view their story. That's just the rule.
I have a bad habit of knowing someone texting me, but then I'm on Instagram and then I like their photo and then I remember that I never responded. So then I respond, but I know that they would have just gotten that notification and then they're like, oh, she only remembered because she saw me on Instagram.
Right.
But that's just how my brain works.
Yeah. I also overthink everything. So I'm like, oh, I bet that they're only responding right now because they wanted to post something on Instagram because I know that they're somewhere.
Whoa.
Yeah, this was, I mean, I'm thinking of a very specific moment, obviously. There was someone I was texting with and I knew that they were coming into the city and like they hadn't responded to my text.
Uh-huh.
But I knew that they were going to post a picture from where they were going. And they happened to text me just before they posted a picture. And I was like, I fucking know it.
Yeah.
Also, yeah, use a burner account. Everyone has a burner account, right?
Oh, yeah. I got so many. Burning through them.
You used to stalk people under the radar?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Basically, if you see someone viewing your story that has zero followers and is following zero people, that's me. Yeah. People who text just K. That is not acceptable in the year of our Lord 2019. How dare you?
What about KK? What about KKKK? Skipping the three, just going to the four.
I don't think any version of just K is sacrilege.
What about okie-dokie artichokey?
I mean, I'll hate it, but it's better than K. It's less aggressive than K. It has the same energy as ending a text with a period.
Mm.
Yeah, a period at the end of the sentence is just a slap in the face.
Mm-hmm.
When it's via text, why don't you just call my mom and tell her to fuck off? Why don't you just come to the hospital where I currently am and unplug me? Yeah, you text K a lot.
I know. I'm sorry.
And just the extra energy, almost none required to add the O. Explain
yourself. you want an OK, but not an OKAY.
Either one of those is better than just K.
All right. What about MK?
Sure.
All right.
I usually say okay with an H.
Hokadoke.
One word responses to very long texts. Not allowed.
It's not just allowed. Rude.
You have to, yeah, it's basic conversational skills here. If someone texts you a novel, you are legally obligated to reply with a similar novel.
At least a novella.
Right.
I feel like sometimes when I text you a lot of things, you just write back, So, whatever.
Yeah. Well, there's also the text that should be an email.
Well, you don't respond to emails as much.
I don't have an email account.
What? So I text you instead.
We're just going to move on. People who believe you should wait a certain amount of time to respond to texts. This is more like, you know, when you're like
dating,
flirting.
Kind of thing, yeah.
I just don't believe in like those types of fucking games.
No.
This is RuPaul's Best Friend Race. If you are into me, you respond to my fucking text right away. Immediately. Although, yeah, I have to stop myself sometimes. Because if someone waits an absurd amount of time to text me back, you can't text right back.
It's a little thirsty.
Yeah. Also, some people have strong opinions about sending one block of text versus like multiple texts.
Yeah, where do you fall in this?
I think it's only annoying if you don't want to hear from that person. Otherwise, like, yeah, I'm not going to read a block of text. My attention span is two sentences at most. Also, this happened yesterday. Someone texted me And it was like a multiple text, but they sent it in one block. Mm-hmm. And there was just a space in between it. And I only saw the first part in the notification, so I didn't reply. But there was valuable information in the second half that I had to open it up in order to actually see it. And I completely missed it.
Oh, boy.
So that would have been solved had they just sent multiple texts.
Mm.
But yeah, who's sending an entire paragraph? We're not pen pals. I had a pen pal.
You did?
Yeah, he was an old man in Arizona, and he whittled me a hummingbird.
What?
And he sent me a lemon, giant lemon.
I need more information about this. Who was this person? How did you...
We met in a chat room.
No.
For hot singles in my area. I don't remember how we got set up. It was some program. Oh, I think it was like a middle school thing where we got matched up with like a war veteran.
Oh, yeah.
And I felt really bad because I don't think I ever sent a thank you note for the giant lemon and the hummingbird. Anybody who texts, can I just call you? Or worse, can we FaceTime?
No.
No! I need stage lighting. I need makeup, wigs, costumes before the cameras are able to turn on.
Mm-hmm.
I've told you this, where I'm pretty sure I accidentally answered a FaceTime call as I was getting in the shower.
Uh-huh.
And I'm very unclear where the camera was pointing. And I immediately noticed and was like, oh shit. And then I hung up. Anyway. Yeah, there's really no reason. Unless you're telling me someone died. In which case you should just call.
Right. I think that's the thing for me is like, don't give me the option to say yes or no. Just call me.
Right.
And then I'll either answer or not.
Also, if you leave a message, you're insane. Because there's no way I'm going to listen to that ever. Ever. People who emoji outside of their skin tone.
Oh, yeah, that's a no-no. You can't do that. It was bad on Slack. I somehow accidentally did that, and I didn't know how to get it back. I didn't know how, and then I figured
Digital
it out.
Digital blackface, yeah. Slackface.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I figured it out. It's back to being a little white girl now. Can we talk about Bitmojis? Is this on your list?
I did not put it on there, but yeah.
I just hate them. The only one that I like, and I don't even mean one person who uses them, is that one time my Aunt Ruth... It was one of my cousin's birthday, and she sent a Bitmoji of her next to a coffin that said HBD on it. And that I thought was fucking hilarious. It was just the darkest birthday Bitmoji text ever.
Why does that exist?
I don't know. If I had my phone in here, I'd show you. But other than that, no Bitmojis.
No.
It's too big. It takes up too much room.
And finally, of course, the worst thing that you can be via text, a green bubble.
You were making direct eye contact with me, and I knew it was just going to be at me.
Yep. If you're a green bubble, you should throw yourself into a lake.
All right.
Holding your phone with cinder blocks attached to your feet. And I hope you sink to the bottom in your indestructible Samsung phone. Will rise up to the surface without you. But at least you'll be separated and I won't get any green bubble texts anymore. And that's it for this week's deep dive. Next, we got Dylan Marin in the studio right after this commercial break. Today's episode is brought to you by Smile Direct. Let's get something straight. Your teeth. Boom! Smile Direct Club straightens your teeth for 60% less than braces, with invisible aligners sent directly to you. You just gotta go online and book a free 3D scan at one of their Smile shops, or guess what? You can order an at-home impression kit. After that, they'll email a preview of your new smile, and once you get your aligners, one of Smile Direct Club's duly licensed doctors will check in on your progress every 90 days. Visit SmileDirectClub.com for real before and after photos from some of 550,000 plus satisfied grinners. And exclusive for our listeners, you can get $100 off your invisible aligners when you go to SmileDirectClub.com/podcast and use offer code UNHAPPY. You'll also get a $25 Amazon gift card with a free 3D scan at one of their smile shops or a $25 rebate on an at-home impression kit. That's $100 off at smiledirectclub.com/podcast, offer code UNHAPPY. smiledirectclub.com/podcast, offer code UNHAPPY. Today's episode is also brought to you by Fleur. You might not think about what's actually in the perfume you wear every day, but with Fleur, you don't have to. Fleur makes stunning, non-toxic perfumes and lists all their ingredients online, so you get a good scent made with clean ingredients. For a luxurious perfume that's all about good, clean fun, try PHLUR Fleur. Get to know each of Fleur's scents with pictures, words, and even playlists on their site. Then try them on your own skin and see how it works for you. Fleur's world-class perfumers are scent artistes, and these perfumes are their masterworks. You know what makes sense? Gender-free scents. And every Fleur scent is gender-free. Plus, they just introduced body wash and body lotion in the same scents, so you can smell amazing all the time, every which way. As you know by now, I love me some Sondara. It's calming and meditative, two words that I aspire to be described as. Its notes of forest air and sandalwood make me feel like I'm going for a walk in the forest without ever leaving my apartment. So go to Fleur.com today and use promo code UNHAPPY to get 20% off your first custom Fleur sample set. Pick 3 scents to try and get credit towards a full-size bottle of your favorite. That's promo code UNHAPPY at Fleur.com to get 20% off your first 3 free samples. That's promo code UNHAPPY at Fleur.com to get 20% off your first 3 samples. PHLUR.com. My guest complainer today is known for so many different projects. You might know him from Welcome to Night Vale as the voice of Carlos the Scientist, or the YouTube series like Every Single Word, or as a former correspondent on the YouTube channel Seriously TV doing series like Sitting in Bathrooms with Trans People, Unboxing, or Shutting Down Bullshit, or maybe from his 2018 Webby-winning podcast Conversations with People Who Hate Me. Welcome, Dylan Marin.
Thank you for having me.
The credits are endless.
Yes, and you are legally bound to say all of them before you say my name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's actually, when people just casually introduce me, they must list all of my credits.
Good. It's, you should have that expectation, set that expectation
yes.
everywhere you go.
Yeah.
I have like a ridiculous bio that I wrote for, that is purposefully not true.
Okay, great.
It's just a bunch of exaggerate. Like, I was born like in 1300 BC.
Yes, and you look so great.
And I've had people like before shows read that out.
Oh, wow.
In its entirety.
Oh, my God.
No irony.
I love this.
And so you have to be careful about like what you put out there, because like that will follow you.
Because soon there will be a conspiracy theory that you were born in 1300.
I welcome that.
Oh, my God. Let's start it.
Yeah. I'm actually 2,000 years old.
Wow.
That's not even the
No,
right
that's
math.
Correct. Yeah. No, that's correct. So actually what you just heard, listeners, is that Matt revealed that he was actually born in the year 19. And it is his 2000th birthday, so please dox him for that.
I mean, technically, I was born before, like, math was even invented.
Oh, my God.
I'm going by, like, the old math that
yes,
I was raised with.
But after Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. it's that golden era.
I guess, you yeah. know? I was just home in Chicago for the Easter weekend, and I went to church for the first time in truly, like,
wow,
probably at least 8 years.
Oh, my God. What denom?
And it was harrowing. Catholic.
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Up and coming religion.
My aunt decided she wanted to be baptized and do that whole thing. And so they do this whole, like, the Easter Eve, mm-hmm. like, induct service is when they like induct new like
yeah
they like people. on board the new
the new hires yeah
yeah. So we had to go and do that, and it was so long. And that was the one they also like, there's like this whole candle thing that they do, and every time it feels like all of these people should not have fire in this building given, you know, recent events. I don't think fire in a church is like a great idea right now.
I do get nervous when I see the candles. It's like yeah. It's like a lot, and I'm the kind of person who when I leave my house, and this is not a joke, I will sometimes come back in two or three times to check that I didn't leave the stove on even when I didn't cook that morning. So
right.
When I see just candles, I'm like, oh my God, where's the sprinkler system?
I mean, I don't want to like diagnose you, but that is OCD.
Yes, honey.
When I was like a teen, I was like hardcore like OCD. Like, yep, yeah, we got to check this like 50 times before
we leave.
And do
you still have the tendencies?
No, I think, yeah, finally I got out of it by being like, like if it burns down, then great. Yeah. I'm free of my material shackles.
Yes. Arsonist, honey. Yes.
Yeah. Now I actively burn down all of my
things. Have a 2,000-year-old arsonist sitting across from me.
Listen, fire was my earliest toy. That's all we had back then.
Okay, Drew Barrymore fire starter. Yes.
We had sticks, stones, and fire. And that's what we used. That's what we played with.
Yeah.
Anyway, we always start, except not this time. We start by asking everybody, what is one thing you hate that everybody else loves?
Okay, this is a thing I strongly feel. And if you disagree with this, I want this to be a dialogue.
Yeah.
I want to hear from you.
That's what podcasts are.
Yeah. Okay, great. Actually, no, this is a monologue. Please leave the studio.
That's true. I mean, my podcast, I would say, is more of like a dictatorship. We don't, you know, all opinions are not welcome.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I
have one I'd like to start with.
Sure.
Which is leisure travel.
I want people to only travel if they absolutely have to.
Only for work.
Only profesh travel.
Only profesh travel. Well, let me explain why. I see people have so much fun on leisure travel. I go on trips with my husband and he is living his best life.
Sure, humble brag.
Humble brag, yeah.
I have loved ones.
Yes. Humble brag. So I see him living his best life, and that is so wonderful. And he genuinely gets excited about upcoming leisure travel trips.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why, but they stress me out so much. I feel like, what am I missing out on? And I also feel like I am someone, as you just diagnosed me with OCD earlier. Actually, like, maybe we are revealing something very profound about me right now, but I'm the type of person who has one path to get to the train, one path to get, even if there is a building that I go to regular meetings in, I will take the same route from the subway. I run in Prospect Park and I take the same exact route every day. And my husband is like one of those like normal people who is like, well, I don't want to use the word normal.
Right.
But
right.
He is one of the types of people who society would call normal. And he is just like, okay, well, there's a stoplight here so we can turn here. And I'm like that hemorrhages my soul. So when we travel and it's like all new experiences, I get overwhelmed.
Right.
And so often, God, this is making me sound profoundly uncool. And like, wow.
I get it though. I get what you mean.
Yeah. And I think, like, I just want to be clear. I very badly want to be the type of person who likes leisure travel. And I have total faith that I could be that person one day.
Uh-huh.
And I love, like, in theory, I love getting to know another place. I will say that if a friend lives there and we're staying with a friend and they're showing us around, that feels wonderful.
Yeah.
Because then there's a familiarity of the friend.
Yeah.
And then I'll like find like the first restaurant we go to, I'll be like, yeah, this is my spot. And then I will go all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas like cool, good people are like, let's Yelp it. Let's like Yelp a new culinary experience.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, but I know this place.
Yeah.
You know? God, wow, that's weird. I don't talk about this out loud, and now I just did, and
no,
that's a
I'm
weird
curious.
Thing to say.
Yeah, but you had another one.
I had another one. Okay, this is like, I It's so I hate the very, very intricate narratives I weave about the people who I know who don't follow me back.
Uh-huh.
Or the friends who have unfollowed me. Like, I cannot tell you, my self-esteem is not lower than when I am writing those narratives in my head. Do you do that?
Yes. Yeah.
It's so weird.
We can spend the next hour talking about this exclusively.
And I demand that we do. But it's that, it's this weird thing, and I think about this a lot with, like, my work now, but it when we're just consuming everything in social media in isolation,
uh-huh.
right? Social media, to borrow a term from the book The Secret, if you've ever read it.
I've read the Wikipedia page for it.
Okay, great. That counts as reading in the year 2019.
Yeah, yep.
So you have not only read it, but studied it.
Exactly, yeah.
If you read the title, you can say you read it. But if you read the Wikipedia page, honey, you are a scholar.
Yeah.
Yes. So there's this idea of, like, are you feeling abundance or are you feeling lack, right? And social media kind of triggers exclusively feelings of lack, because when you consume it structurally, you're going to be alone. You're not necessarily consuming social media with people.
Right.
So you can only feel lack because you're seeing a thing that you're not part of. Now, I know people are saying, well, you should just, like, feel that as if you are there, feel happy for them that they are there. And that's a lovely thing in theory, but it just doesn't happen. It's not what my brain does.
And if you feel that, you're insane.
Yeah. And if your brain does that, it's like, congratulations, like, hold on to that for the rest of your life. Nurture it. It's amazing. I don't feel that way. I'm just like, oh my God, what am I missing out on? What's happening? And so when a friend who I know once followed me, or even like a colleague, like a parallel media colleague, when they unfollow me, I'm like, I'm a horrible person. Yeah. And they see it. No one else has seen it yet, but this person somehow knows that I'm a bad person. And it just, it's makes you see the worst part of yourself. I hate it.
Yeah.
I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. What do you do?
I don't know. Like, I haven't figured out any of this. I sit in self-loathing. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
No, even when it's like someone I actively dislike, where I'm like, oh, okay. I see. Yeah. I see. My feelings have been confirmed, even though I just basically, you know, actualized it.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, like, we're going to have like a reckoning with this like era that we're in of social media, but it's weird, and then you, like, project really weird things onto them and what they think of you, and then you can see them at a party, like, a few weeks later, and they truly are, like, in their mind, nothing happened.
Yeah, and because nothing actually
Because nothing happened, and you're like, oh my God, I have lived five lives with you.
I do a similar thing about, like, you know, it's like when someone isn't texting you back quick enough, you know, your brain immediately is like, well, I guess they just fucking hate me now.
Yes.
I guess I should delete their number.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
We just move on.
But
then it's like, you know, you think about, okay, do I respond immediately to everybody else?
No, I do not.
No. But then my brain is like, well, if I, like, you know, it depends on the context of the person I'm texting with.
Yeah.
Or, like, if it's romantic or just a friend or whatever. Totally. But that it's like, okay, well, if it's like something I really, like, really, really care about, then I'll text right away.
Yes.
So, like, clearly they don't care.
Oh my God. Yeah, I absolutely, if I'm joking with a friend and they don't respond to the joke, my mind isn't like they didn't think it was funny. I was like, I have severely hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
And, like, I will be like, hi, this was a joke, and which is like what kills a joke. You know, it's like, haha, this is funny. You know?
Right.
And you're like,
yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, the, like, kind of the slightly risky text or message.
Oh,
is,
dear.
And I turned on, I didn't even know I could do this, and it's probably bad that I figured it out, where you could turn on push notifications for Instagram messages.
No, honey, I will not.
So when I get DMs on Instagram, I now get the messages DM to me, or the notification
notified.
Pops up. But if someone deletes a message, it shows you that thing that says the sender has unsent this message. So it still shows you the notification.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
but it doesn't show you what they sent. It just says they unsent it. So then your brain is like, oh my God, what did they say? I think the thing that fucks with me now, I feel like listeners have heard me talk about this endlessly, but I've only recently started using all of the apps, the Tinders and the Hinges and all of that.
Yeah.
And that is like, yeah, it's just pure guessing game of like, oh, I said this and then they stop responding. What of the list of reasons? Because it's also incredibly possible that it's just like maybe they actually died.
Yeah.
that's just
most likely
one of many. That's what I tell myself every time.
Are you liking it?
Yes and no. I do think it in some ways that it has made me more confident, and then in other ways it's made me less confident. Because I think I remember I talked about this on an episode too, and in therapy.
Love.
Because I was like, I feel like, and especially in New York, there's 10 gay people and we all know one another and we all are enemies. And...
Oh, I heard your statistics.
I think that was
down the statistics.
Because my therapist was like, let's look it up. And she was like, there's 10 million gay people in New York. But I was like, well, let's do the math and break it down. Because I think, especially being a person on the internet, especially in media, it's like you only are seeing the kind of most vocal people who are active online.
Yes.
And then it creates this sense of, oh, this is reflective of the world.
And then we falsely use the word everyone. You know, if three people say the same thing in listener mail and they don't know each other, I'm like, whoa, everyone thinks this.
That's the scary thing, though, is we're getting into this place where everybody is creating their own reality.
Yeah.
And you live in your individual world.
Totally. And I think it is because I'm not talking about emotional loneliness, which is another thing. I'm saying there is structural isolation in the way we exist in these worlds. Physically we are alone, digitally we are all together, it seems. And just to be clear, I think there are many communities that foster a real sense of belonging digitally.
Yeah.
I don't know that social media as it exists now totally is going to be the final draft of what that looks like.
Yeah.
I think we're in a draft.
Right.
Of the simulation.
And it's terrifying.
Yay!
Is there one thing that you kind of are focusing the most on? Or do you enjoy kind of going from thing to thing?
No, I mean, my main thing for the last 2 years has been conversations with people who hate me.
For people who don't know,
yes.
Do the elevator pitch.
Elevator
What's the concept?
Pitch is I make a podcast called Conversations with People Who Hate Me, where I either talk one-on-one to people who have said negative or hateful things to me online, or I moderate conversations between strangers who clashed with each other digitally. And it's a show where you kind of get to move a very fraught online conversation offline.
Right.
In hopefully a productive way.
Was there any one incident that kind of spurred it on?
When I was making videos in general, I did every single word on my own, and then I was making a lot of other videos. When those went viral, it was very cool because a lot of people really loved it. But our brains don't focus on that. Our brains focus on the smaller fraction of people who hate it.
Right.
And then hate you because if your face is on it. And so I just became so fascinated by that. And my coping mechanism, because this was the place where my videos were really taking off, especially the unboxing videos and the other satirical videos I was making at the time, was on Facebook, which was the big time when Facebook videos were having a moment. And the thing about Facebook is when you get a message from someone on Facebook, you can click on their profile and see everything about them.
Yeah.
And to find out that it was this three-dimensional human being who lived their own life and had their own feelings, I can't yet fully explain this, but it made me feel a little better.
Yeah.
It wasn't this unknown entity. And I guess it was that when I started seeing them and clicking through their pictures and looking at their posts, I was like, oh, there's a way to reach them. There's a way to reach them. So that's what I would do. If I would get a message, I would click on their profile, learn who they were. The podcast for sure started as a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
it felt better. I only have a career because of the internet, right? For many of us who have been turned down by the traditional gatekeepers, mm-hmm. we were able to make stuff online and see it succeed democratically,
yeah.
which was amazing. So I have a particular fondness for the digital spaces that have allowed so many of us to make so many cool things. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to leave it, and I don't want to abandon it. And I kind of believe in like sticking around and making it a more hospitable place.
Yeah.
I don't want to adopt this idea of like this very common idea now of like social media is a garbage dumpster fire. Because this project, Conversations with People Who Hate Me, is like, I don't know, it makes me feel like better about the world.
Yeah.
Like the calls make me feel wonderful about the future possibilities of the internet.
The whole kind of concept of talking with people was in part born from Lindy West, right?
So, you know, I heard Lindy West's episode when it came out or uh-huh. when they replayed it, and I loved it. I really, in the truest sense, that did precede my project. I didn't see it as like an expansion of that, because that to me was so personal to Lindy. And
yeah.
I think the way she handled it was like masterful. And so I wouldn't want to like, I mean, I don't want to flatter myself to be like, yes, and I was trying to be Lindy West, because I think she's incredible.
No, I'm also not saying that.
No, no, I know. I'm just saying like she did precede it, but it was like, it was really inspired by kind of the coping mechanism.
Yeah.
And having the urge to want to screenshot their comments, make fun of their typos, which I totally did.
Yeah.
And try to do, it's truly to do something more productive with it.
Yeah.
I also think the really big difference is that what happened with Lindy was truly egregious.
Yeah.
And like, that was like horrifying and I would say abuse in
right.
many ways.
And we then, should say, to just say people don't know, Leon, mm-hmm. Lindy West, author of Shrill.
Author of Shrill,
author,
new book coming out, I think. And
yeah.
she's just an amazing writer.
And she, yeah, so there was this person like harassing her, pretending to be her deceased father
yeah.
on the internet.
Yeah.
Like truly, yeah.
And so the big thing is like that was a true confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, and I've been very explicit about this on the show, is when I say hate, it's not literal hate. It's just that when you receive any negativity online, it feels like hate because
yeah.
we don't know how to categorize them. So constructive criticism is lumped in the same category as, you know, kind of really negative stuff in the same category with true hate.
Right.
And so you don't know how to differentiate. And so I remember also reading about this this black radio host in Texas, and he would just get a ton of very racist letters. This is like pre the internet. And he started calling the people who wrote those letters.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, so I think there's an interesting lineage of people who have like decided to turn these into conversations.
Yeah.
So, and if I can count myself among them, I feel honored.
Yeah. Is there any like one comment that sticks with you?
Hmm.
I know mine.
Like a specific comment or a
yeah.
type of comment?
I guess if you have a whole category of them. Mine was someone called me Casper the Faggot Ghost, and
oh,
I think that's hilarious.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess there is one. Someone wrote, he wrote gaywad fag, just those
Great.
Two words.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're correct, honey. You're observant.
I think the comment that was made at me was about a tweet, a Beyonce tweet. It was just like...
Interesting.
Yeah. And I think it was from another Beyonce fan who just was like, we're not listening to your opinion right now.
Yeah.
And
was it a controversial opinion?
No, I don't even think so.
Interesting.
None of my Beyonce opinions are yeah. controversial. I follow the party line.
Oh, well, honey. we legally must.
Yeah. Also, my profile picture, I do remember at that time, was very pale.
So I
was asking for it. I'll victim blame myself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's
but,
productive.
Yeah. So... There's such worse hate on the internet that is directed at people who are marginalized.
Yeah, totally.
I often feel like I don't have much standing room to complain about hateful comments that I get on the internet, because it's like they pale in comparison to what a lot of people get.
So I think on the macro, that is important to acknowledge, like that Amnesty International study that came out in December, I think, of 2018. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, women, unsurprisingly, get the lion's share of abuse. Women of color the most. Yeah. Black women the most of that group, right? So that has to be said. That being said, individually, you do not necessarily embrace those statistics when you're the one feeling it.
Yeah,
you just experience it on a one-to-one scale.
Everybody has their own scale of
totally
what is normal and what is abuse. And,
so yeah. Someone's calling you Casper the Faggot Ghost? Is that correct?
Yeah. Then, which I used to tell a joke, like I used to say that on stage and
yeah.
say that they got it right.
Yeah, totally.
It got everything right about me. Pale, gay, dead little boy.
But that's so interesting because both of us do the same thing. Because
I
show the gay wad fag message and I put it on a screen. And it's like, okay, well, this will be worth it if I turn it into a joke. But then there's a point where the jokes kind of run out for me.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, I can't keep, like, that doesn't actually make me feel better.
Right.
It's totally a defense mechanism and it's a great defense mechanism. And it is empowering to see someone make jokes using... the setup being something horrible someone said to you.
Yeah.
But I think personally I needed to find a different way to cope with it.
We're almost out of time. I do want to ask, so we usually play a game called Elaborate where we search the word hate on our guest's Twitter and then have
and it's
you,
just my podcast
elaborate.
That came up, yeah.
Yeah. But you have only used the word hate in relation to your podcast.
Wow.
And at one point,
always I always be I was promoting, honey.
Yeah, you are on.
Always
message.
Be promoting.
But I thought it was interesting that there was one tweet about whether you should change the name of the podcast because the word hate mm-hmm. obviously has a lot of, you know, loaded implications
yeah.
or connotations, mm-hmm. whatever the word
honey,
is.
Honey, whatever you want to say, I'll nod.
I define my own yeah, words.
You
on should. This
you could say permutations, and I'd be like, yeah, smart queen.
But yeah, obviously. Like I use the word hate on this podcast
yeah.
very flippantly,
yeah.
but you know we live in a world where like there are
there's
actual
literal hate
groups.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you're how your feelings have. Obviously, you still call your podcast.
Well, I went through a kind of big soul searching phase, and I did it somewhat publicly because I wanted to hear from people, and I stand by it. You know, I explained to all my guests it's not literal hate, right? So and some guests refuse to come on because they're like, "But I don't hate you." And, you know, I say, like, I totally get it. But when you call me a piece of shit, it doesn't feel like love, you know?
Yeah.
It feels like the opposite.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm trying to explore with this show. It's like we are so enabled to, if I didn't know you, and this is like pre the podcast, and you said something that I disagreed with, and I had no idea who you were, and I had no idea what kind of stuff you did, I could be like, Matt's a piece of shit, you know, for saying yeah. this thing that I disagree with.
Right.
You would not read that as like, well, I don't think he actually hates me. I bet he's just bringing his full three-dimensional day to it. And actually, it's kind of complicated because he's seeing me as this, you know, like, you don't know these things. You're just like, oh my God, fuck, that person hates me. This person hates
right.
me. And so it's trying to cut through the noise of it. And I also did initially use that title without question because it felt like hate. As I explored it more and I started realizing like, oh, like none of these people hate me. And let's wrestle with the fact that there are literal hate groups in the world. That's a tough thing. But kind of through the soul searching, I realized, you know, all the more reason to use this word as the starting point and allow my guests to speak for themselves
yeah.
so that then you can hear that it's not hate. And it's interesting because then too, when we're referring to social media as this total dumpster fire, right, a common refrain, I wonder if it's a really actually skewed perception machine of the world and what are we enabled to write and what are we empowered to write and what are we encouraged to write? Did I say all the same words?
Yeah.
Enabled, empowered, encouraged, all different ideas, trust me. But what are we encouraged to write? What in the metric system of social media that has incentives for saying the snarkiest thing, right? That we are rewarded for owning someone, for shutting someone down. Like, what are we creating in ourselves?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that like the snarkiest tweet will win and the snarkiest will be the funniest and the funniest will often be at the expense of someone else.
Right.
And it's really wonderful when the person that it's at the expense of is someone you profoundly disagree with. It's really terrifying when that person is someone you agree with, and it's really terrifying when that person is you, you know? And so that's why I'm okay with using the word.
Wow. How do I follow that?
Honey. Well,
eventually we're all just going to be zeros and ones.
Yes. We are now in the simulation.
We are. Yeah. None of you are real. You're all just thoughts in my head.
Mm-hmm, and yes.
I'm so happy.
And we are thoughts in your head.
Which is insane that my podcast doesn't have even more listeners, considering that this is my own simulation.
This is your simulation.
And like that I wouldn't have given myself more. But because
you're keeping yourself humble.
Right. I want to keep myself humble and give myself a struggle.
Yes. This is for your biography.
If I just came out with the number one podcast, like what would I have to fight for?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Then you'd retire and live on all of those podcast bucks.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Before I let you go, where can people find you and your work?
You can find me and my work at Dylan Marin on all social media.
Uh-huh.
And you can go to my webpage, dylanmarin.com.
Amazing. Well, yeah. I hope the next time we see you, you'll have leisurely traveled and had fun.
And I will tell you all about how cool I am, that I can experience new things and love them.
Yes. Can't wait. All right, we're almost there. We're almost at the end of the show. But first, our chasers. Chasers are the good stuff that helps all the bad shit go down, starting with the TV we've been watching this week. Barry, what you been watching?
I don't think we actually talked about Game of Thrones yet, have we?
I think every week. But let's do it.
But no, I was just going to say, I mean, I've been watching the same things. I've been watching Veep, Game of Thrones, and Barry every week, and then also Deadwood. And I'm going to be introducing a new show that into my watching next week. But for now, I just say, like, I just keep thinking about Battle of Winterfell, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. Well, by the time people listen to this, we'll have seen the fourth episode.
But true.
As of this recording, the Battle of Winterfell was the last one.
Uh-huh. And yeah, that was just, it was a lot.
I'm starting, I mean, without, I guess, getting into too many specifics, I'm starting to think that I have invested so many hours in this show and this series that there's almost nothing that can happen that will satisfy me.
Yeah.
That's almost what I felt like after the last episode.
More people needed to die.
Where I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
There's no way all of our favorites just like happen to survive.
Right.
Ugh, yeah.
Especially just because there's so much like discussion around, like fanfare around it, where there's like so many. I feel like the expectations were set up that it would be like way more devastating.
Yeah.
And it was not.
It was fun though. The pacing was amazing.
And also I couldn't see a fucking thing. So.
But yeah, I'd say that's what I've been watching and continue to think about. What about you? What are you watching?
I don't know if I've watched anything new.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on.
I also have restarted The Office again.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
It's just like I watch it so fast that I then want, it's like when I'm done with it, it's almost like I need it as a comfort.
Yeah.
So I have been watching that. Homecoming, I've been rewatching.
I watched the Veronica Mars trailer, which made me so excited.
I saw that you were excited.
Yes, I'm so excited.
I never watched Veronica Mars.
You should. That should be the next thing that you watch. There's not a lot of it. It's only three seasons and then a movie.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. It's it's young Kristen Bell, which also reminded me of Deadwood. And also, I've been meaning to tell you, you know who else has like quite a long character arc in Deadwood? Sarah Paulson.
Ooh.
And she's very good in it.
Is she a lesbian in it?
You know, I thought it was going to go there, and I don't think it is.
Did I ever talk about Special?
No.
Every episode is like 17 minutes long. It's like it's short.
Right.
And there's only like 6 or 8 episodes. It's a short series. And now they have a new one called Bonding that I think is also
short. That one's also short? Oh.
I think so.
Interesting.
But Special was so adorable. The main character is played by Ryan O'Connell, who is a writer who I love. Ryan plays the main character, who is a gay guy living with cerebral palsy.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like cute. It's fun to see like a show with like a, I guess, non-conventional main gay character. So yeah, but it's cool. I feel like Netflix is starting to do more stuff that's not just like a straightforward 30-minute show. So it's like sketch shows.
Yeah.
and short little shows.
I love that. I'm so happy that that's being a, like, that's like a thing more now.
What is your non-TV chaser?
Oh boy, do I have some good ones today. First of all, bought a vacuum, guys. The Shark Navigator, fantastic vacuum. Was able to get it as a refurbished one off of eBay, so it was way less expensive.
This is a Dyson household, so...
Oh, I mean, obviously that is the dream, but I'm not quite at that level yet. So one day, but it's like I have new carpets. It's fantastic. And then the most exciting thing is that we got a real couch. A real couch, not a futon, because guys, living in this New York apartment, it's the ground floor. There's like three 90 degree angles to get in. There's physically no way to bring a couch into the apartment. And we thought we just like had to live with a futon, which was sad. But there's this company, I'm not being sponsored, this company called Burrow, B-U-R-R-O-W, and they make modular sofas. And it's also, it's all made in North Carolina, and the company's very cool. And you can buy like as many pieces as you want, and they clamp together, so you don't need any tools to build it. And we have a real couch with an ottoman. There were like Shea Lounge options, but we went with an ottoman so we can move it around for our footrest.
Right.
And it can, Alex built it yesterday, and it was just the most exciting thing to come home to. I just like, I fucking hated having that futon.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you so much. It's really exciting.
And I can't wait for you to find that a family of rats has infested it.
Oh, they better not touch my fucking couch. But anyway, that those are the things that made me really happy this week. Vacuum and a couch. How about you? What are your chasers?
Well, this is both something that's, I guess, bringing me joy, but also pain.
Oh, good.
I feel like I've talked about how I've been trying to go more to the gym. I have sort of relapsed. I don't know. One thing I've been figuring out is because I travel a lot for work and I don't have like a 9-to-5 like schedule that I come back to, it's hard for me to get back into a schedule when I come back from something. I feel like I like hit a restart button every time.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to go, but I only know how to do cardio.
Right.
I don't know how to do anything else. So I had a show in Providence, Rhode Island, that I took the train to. And on the way there, I was like, I'm going to look up a whole bunch of apps that will teach me how to do other stuff.
Nice.
For example, there was this one app that was, it's called like the 30-day squat challenge. And I was like, oh, that seems fun and will make my butt great.
Whoa.
So I did beginner level 2, which is 30 squats on the first day. I think I even did 35.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And it was fun and I felt good after it. At the time of this recording, this was 4 full days ago. My legs are unusable. I've been fully.
You crawled
immobile.
Your way in here. You were just doing the worm.
I don't think I did anything wrong. Maybe I should have
stretched
more after.
Yeah.
But
you can ice them too.
I fully need one of those things that all of the hot guys I follow on Instagram use where it just like pound. It's like a vibrator that pounds your muscles. I'm like, I get it, bro. I'm going to like, while I'm eating my protein powder, I'm going to pound my muscles with one of those pulverizers. But yeah, it truly fucked me up and I haven't been able to do it since. Mostly because I've barely been able to like get up and down off the toilet. So anyway, if you couldn't suss it out from all of that, my chaser is my burning thighs. And that's it! So thanks for listening to Unhappy Hour. You can head to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get podcasts, hit that subscribe button, then rate us and review us, but only if it's nice. I don't want to hear your shit! Unhappy Hour is a production of Pineapple Street Media. It's produced by Barry Finkel, Melissa Slaughter, and me, Matt Pellisai. Special thanks to Jenna Weiss-Berman and Max Linsky. Our editors are Dina Kleiner and Josh Gwynn. Music by Hansdale Sue. You can bother Barry at FinkelBarryPie. You can worship me at Matt Pellisai. And you can follow Unhappy Hour Pod on Twitter for all the latest podcast buzz. And that's it. That's everything. Thank you for listening. See you next week. Oh, bye-bye. Don't cry for me, Argentina. the truth is, I always love you.